10. Vinnie Morris and Jesse Stone shared the kind of grudging mutual respect hardened combatants had for each other. Their relationship, if that's what you could call it, went back to Jesse's first months on the job. Vinnie had been Geno Fish's right hand back then, and a very dangerous right hand he had been, too. He had remained by Fish's side for many years, but had recently split off to run his own crew out of a bowling alley off the Concord Turnpike. Through the years, Jesse, Geno, and Vinnie had occasionally found common causes, working together toward a mutually beneficial end. Jesse would get his man. Geno and Vinnie might gain territory or profit financially. Cops have to be pragmatists, because you don't get intel about bad guys from the church choirmaster. Now they sat next to each other at Dennis's place, a bar in Southie where Vinnie was a silent partner. The place was as local could get, and no one in the neighborhood called it by its name. When they set up the meeting, Jesse had wondered why they were going to meet at a bar and not at the bowling alley. Vinnie said he had his reasons, and Jesse understood that Vinnie wasn't the type of man to explain himself beyond that. The front door of the bar was temporarily closed, and Morris's men made sure they weren't disturbed. At any other time, it might have seemed unusual that neither man was drinking anything stronger than club soda, but the circumstances surrounding Geno Fish's death made the meeting unique. Jesse and Vinnie didn't look directly at each other, staring instead at the big mirror behind the bar. As Vinnie had requested, Jesse was dressed like a civilian: jeans, running shoes, blue golf shirt, a Dodgers cap in place of his usual PPD cap. Vinnie was dressed casually, which for him meant a beige Armani suit of some featherweight material, a white silk t-shirt, and canvas-topped shoes. Each studied the other's expression. Vinnie had the unreadable blank face of a dangerous man. It kept people off guard, because you never knew what he was thinking. Yet with a simple curl or drop of one corner of his mouth, he could say more than most men giving an annual report. He sat in his familiar pose, arms folded across his chest, heels of his shoes hooked on the bottom rung of the bar stool. He spoke first.
"I don't like it. In general, Geno meant a lot to me. Taught me everything. I had the skills. But all the skills in the world aren't worth a thing if you don't know how or when to use them."
"Uh-huh.
I know you're not a talker, Stone, but give me something more than uh-huh."
"You've never been much for talking yourself, Vinnie. First you've got to tell me what you don't like."
"How about the Boston PD, for starters?"
Jesse laughed a quiet laugh.
"That narrows things down."
But Jesse sensed what Vinnie was talking about.
"They were rough on Fisher's memory, huh? When they had me in this afternoon to ask if I knew what was going on with Geno, they were calling him queer and faggot and 100 other things. It was all I could do not to pop one of them guys. Geno was what he was and who he was. No need to disrespect him in death. Cowards. None of those cops would have dared insult him to his face when he was alive. He made it pretty far up the ladder, and he stayed there for a long time, longer than most."
"I get that," Jesse said. "What else?"
"The whole murder-suicide thing, I don't buy it."
"Listen, Vinny, after you called me, I spoke to a guy I know at the BPD. There's no doubt Geno killed himself. It wasn't a setup." All Vinnie Morris did was shake his head. Denial. Jesse knew all about denial. Alcoholics are expert at it. So are the friends and family of murderers and suicide victims. Vinny turned to one of his guys and wiggled his finger.
"Give me the pictures."
A big man came over to his boss and handed him a beige folder. Vinny opened the folder and spread crime scene photos out on the bar. They were pretty gruesome, especially since the bodies hadn't been discovered for a few days. But both Vinnie and Jesse had seen their share of violence and bloodshed. Both had seen bodies in all states of disrepair. Even so,
Jesse could tell it was difficult for Vinny to stare at the bloody photos of his old boss. Jesse opened his mouth to ask about how Morris had come to possess these photos, and then thought better of it. Men like Vinny also had sources inside the police department.
"Look here, Stone," Vinny said, pointing to the red spatter on the wall high above Fish's desk. "He killed himself standing up. I don't like it. And why kill this kid? He was new. Wasn't there a week? You knew Gino. He liked young, pretty men. Since you know him, how many different receptionists you seen outside his old and new offices? 5, 10?
Probably closer to 10.
Gino never got too attached to these guys. It was a vanity thing for him. I was by there last week, and Gino confided in me that as good-looking as this guy was, he might have to fire him. The guy couldn't even alphabetize.
One of the first things I learned as a homicide detective was that you can only think you know someone else, but you really can't know someone deep down. We tell ourselves otherwise because how else could we live in a world with other people? The second thing I learned was that people lie even when they don't have to, and they lie to people they don't have to lie to.
Vinny Morris kept shaking his head. Look, Vinny, Gino was getting older. He already lost you. My source inside the BPD tells me Gino's position in the hierarchy was slipping. Maybe he fell in love with this guy, or maybe he just lost it. Gino did violence when he had to, but not for himself and not for a long time. He wasn't a knife man. And look at that pillow under the kid's head. It's all filthy. Gino would never have anything like that in his home or office. Where did it come from? Out of thin air? I'm telling you, Stone, there's something all wrong about this. Something else is going on here.
Now it was Jesse shaking his head. You're grabbing at straws. Listen to yourself, Vinny. You're talking about dirty pillows. But there's no doubt Gino killed himself, and his prints are all over the knife. The cops tell me the dead man's blood is all over Gino's hand. I'm sorry, I like Gino in spite of my better judgment, and he always kept his word to me.
How about you keeping your word to him?
How's that? Jesse asked, his voice and expression hardening.
Gino told me you owed him a big favor, that you agreed if he stuck his neck out for you with that Mr. Peepers thing a while back, you would do anything he asked. Anything.
That's right, Vinny, I did.
Well, now I'm asking for him. I'm collecting his favor. You look into this. You owe him that much, no?
Jesse thought about it and then offered his right hand to Morris.
Okay, but if I don't find what you're hoping for, that's it.
Vinny Morris took Jesse's hand.
Deal.